Well, we've caught up with Ed Weaver from Spoken Worldwide, and today we're looking at just kind of a different perspective on ministry, what Spoken Worldwide does through the Orality Movement, and some of the shifts in missional thinking as it relates to orality. Ed, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thanks, Ruth, for the invitation.
We had an interesting discussion prior to the beginning of the interview with regard to how people see and understand the orality movement as it applies to Great Commission thinking. Now, I wanted to just kind of throw this thought out there. It seems like within the last 10, 15 years, ministries have stopped being quite so proprietary over their own special projects, and they're more willing to work together, to share resources, and to expand their networks in the idea of Great Commission expression or resourcing people to have a Great Commission expression. Where does the Orality Network fall in that line of the shift in missional thinking and cooperation?
Well, Ruth, I think one of the things that's interesting is I agree with you. I think there's more collaboration and more open-handedness than I've ever seen. Now, granted, I've only been in vocational ministry for 14 years, but in that time frame, it seems like there's been much more openness, much more conversation back and forth into how we can help one another achieve the Great Commission. When we started in 2005, for the first 4 years or so, we were doing exclusively evangelism work, and so we were bringing the gospel to those that couldn't read. And we were doing some reasonably good work. One of the interesting things that happened along the way was we had a funding partner that said they thought we were being too successful. And I kind of went, well, why? How is that possible? And he said, well, I think you're bringing a lot of people to faith, but you're not developing leaders that can help those new believers grow in their faith. And so we began to look at what could we do differently? Because we really believed that what this person was saying was true. So we analyzed what we were doing and really reconstructed our programs to be able to make disciples, give them a biblical theology in kind of a semi-structured curriculum. We don't like calling it curriculum because we don't want to suggest that we're going to impose our standards on another culture. So we've kind of outlined a framework, but we let the local indigenous leadership help design the curriculum as it relates to their culture and their people. That has been how we've done work over the last 10 years. And it's been incredibly fruitful. I would say we've got disciple-making movements in 30 different languages around the world, and that's pretty amazing. But one of the things that I find that as we expand our footprint of ministry, as the Lord opens up doors for us, we're finding that some local ministry partners, when they hear about Orality, they go, well, we've already learned that. We've already done that. And, of course, our response is, well, then do you use it strategically in your day-to-day ministry? And they say, well, no, not so much. I mean, it's good for evangelism, but we're doing pastor training or we're doing church planting. And that's really where I think the difference is in how we as an organization think about orality and how maybe other organizations think about orality is there's just been, this is like ministry light, or this is a good stepping stone to, quote, real ministry. And that's something that I don't know that I thought would happen, as we begin to expand the ministry. And so the challenge is really trying to deliver credible ministry outputs, really be able to see that people do believe that oral learners can become theologians, that oral learners have the ability to take any position in a church because they know the scripture. They know the truth of the Word of God. And I think that should be really the limiting factor, not the ability to read or not. But I don't think that that message has really caught on very well. I think the overall concept of orality and the needs of oral learners has taken root and has certainly expanded over the last 10 to 15 years. But I do still think there's plenty of opportunity for growth and understanding that an oral learner can be a pastor, an oral learner can be a theologian. It's just a matter of learning the information, learning and understanding who God is, and how to be able to communicate that and understand his plan of redemption. So I think there's still a lot of ground to be gained yet in terms of really expanding the possibilities of reaching oral learners and seeing movements of faith across the oral learning communities of the world.
Well, you just kind of opened up a whole box of worms there, can of worms. What do you want people to take away from this story? I think we'll just have to go a little bit at a time as we talk down the line about the ministry of Spoken Worldwide, how people can get involved. You know, this is something where we want people not only to be aware of the situation, but also to have some kind of a response to it, to be able to pray, give, or go interact with you guys. So what do you want people to take away from what we've had a discussion about today?
Well, I think that one of the key items for takeaway is to really ask ourselves the question, is if somebody can't read, what do we expect of them? What do we expect that they can do? And I think we just need to reconsider our positions on that. Are we saying that, you know, you have to be able to read in order to teach others about God? Or do we care how they gather that information? And once we make that decision, then I think that we, if we're really honest with ourselves and we make that decision in a clear way, then we can take action. But until we've made that decision and we understand the elements that combine to make that decision, then I think we're just going to pay lip service to what is being said about the needs of oral learners.
And if somebody wants to know more information about Spoken Worldwide and how they can come alongside you, where do they find that?
So spoken.org is our website, and I think we have a lot of information there that provides a primer for the needs of oral learners. But certainly someone can email us at info@spoken.org to ask more specific questions.
Okay.